Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Yahushua had appointed them. And when they saw him, now please catch this line. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubt it. Yeah. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name singular of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them, there it is, to observe, help me with this word, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end, which means it must be an end, somebody, of the world. Amen. I see here four alls connected with the gospel. Four alls connected with the church. Four alls in this commission. And that's really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the four alls of our commission. You may be seated. There's four alls in our commission. One of the major challenges, issues, and concern that I have as a pastor and as a teacher of the congregation of the Most High, and also recognizing that what I teach and preach goes out worldwide to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the tribes that are being woken up even as we speak. Hallelujah. To the bloodline as well as those adopted in. I realize that we are being faced with an awesome challenge. And that is to take the message of our Hamashiach to the whole world. Hold on. You know, back in the day, our church used to be a missionary church. You heard churches say, I'm a Baptist. What kind of Baptist? Missionary Baptist. But they ain't going nowhere. I know it's not good English, but they're not going, my mama used to say, grandma and them used to say, bit more. I don't know what that means to this day. Ain't gonna do bit more missionary work than the man in the moon. And what they meant by that, can I translate it? They said, it would be easier for there to be an actual man living in the moon than for our people to do missionary work. We talk about evangelism and going and sharing, but the reality is Hasatan, the great enemy of our faith, the devil, has convinced us that our mission is to come to the assembly. When our master's commission was, go to the whole world. And it's just like the devil. Everything that Yah says, he's going to come around and say just what? The opposite. We think we have fulfilled our Yah-given task when we show up to our weekly assembly. But may I say this? It's a sad army that cannot get past the mess hall. I wish I had a witness here. It's a sad army that go through boot camp, go through all that training just to sit in the mess hall. Amen. Clinkling pots and pans and forks. Talking about, ooh, we joined this army and Lord, ain't we eating good. May I help you? Can I help you on something? You don't get in this army. You're not about in this ministry just to sit down and eat. The purpose for eating is that you might get the strength and the equipment and the nourishment needed to carry out the commission given to us by our HaMashiach. If anybody understood anything I just said, would you just wave your hand and let me see the color sign? Hallelujah. I just want to see that side. Amen. Because these are Hebrews he's talking to. This is a commission. Now, please note that I'm starting in the back of the book. So what I'm doing is I'm fast forwarding. We know he was born of the bloodline of King David, but at the same time, he was Yah's only begotten son. We know he lived sinless. He walked perfect and upright. He only spoke truth because in him was the fullness of grace and truth. He performed miracles. He walked on water. He fed the hungry people. He brought in those who were outcast. Are y'all in this room with me? I'm talking about my HaMashiach. I'm talking about our promised Messiah. Came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons and daughters of Yah. He taught in their temples. He taught in the mountains. He taught in the synagogues. He taught on the beach. They brought lepers, blind folk, and misfits. And no one walked away from him unchanged. But I'm fast forward. His family didn't understand him. Remember his mama tried to make him do something at a wedding? He said, woman, what do I have to do with you right now? No disrespect. But she was putting him on the spot. But he ended up turning what? Water into wine. His brethren didn't understand him. During the Feast of Tabernacles, they said, hey, anybody who wants to be popular needs to go to this feast and be there first so that everybody can see him. Because nobody wanting to be popular is going to hang out incognito. And he waited till everybody else went. And then, but guess what? To follow Torah, he still went to. He went to the feast, but later. Here's my point. His closest relative, mama, brothers, and friends did not understand him. And then we realized that he then taught us in parables. He taught us many stories, watch this, about the kingdom of Yah. And how we are to be citizens of that kingdom, recognizing him as the king. And then ultimately, we hear a voice from heaven saying concerning our Messiah, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, I'm saying all that because I want to get back to my text. They took this perfect human who was not only human but divine. And by the way, at this church, I don't know about other fellowships and other Hebrew fellowships. And I'm going to show it to you today. At this fellowship, we believe that Joseph was not Yehoshua's real blood daddy. I better put that out there because we got folk thinking that Joseph and Mary got all hot and bothered and couldn't wait for the wedding. So they ran behind the barn. Y'all know, started kicking up hay. No, that's not how my Messiah got here. He didn't get here through fornication. Okay, well, nobody tell you. The way our Messiah got here was just like the angel said he was going to come here. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, who was a beautiful young maiden and who was blessed among women. We also don't believe that Yehoshua was just some guy who came to realize he was the Son of God when he was 30 years old with his feet in the Jordan River. No, that's not when he realized who he was. He knew who he was before he was 12 years old. He knew who his daddy was because he was in the temple when they left the temple at 12. He was staying behind, hanging out with the Morays, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers. He was hanging out, asking them questions. They would answer. Then they would ask him questions. He would answer. Then he would ask them some more questions, and they'd be like, "Whoo!" Oh, I said, "Pastor Jamal, boy, who your dad? Who your mama? How you know all this about this Torah?" And when mom and dad was looking for him, I said, "But where you been?" "About my father's business." Now, that would have been a perfect place for Joseph to interject his fatherhood. "What you mean your father's business? Talking about my business or somebody else's business? What business you talking about, boy?" You know, that would have been a perfect point for him to check Mary and say, "Mary, so you've been talking to this boy about some other man? I'm not the real dad." You know, every man be thinking in the back of his mind, "I hope these are mine." You know, the baby 12 now, and he talking about some other daddy besides him. This would have been a perfect time to check that right then. Talking about my father's business. He didn't say, "Joseph, I got to be about your business," because Joseph was looking for it. He was talking about his, are y'all in the room with me today? His only Father, Heavenly Father, the monogenes, the only one he was gened after, was Yah. Now, watch this. I'm fast forward because I'm going to get to the end. They crucified this man. That's what I'm trying to get to. They literally came up with false charges, trumped up charges, to crucify him. They didn't just want him dead, just regular death. They wanted him to die a death of shame. And the worst possible way to die in those days by form of capital punishment was crucifixion on a tree. Now, listen, this is not about the method. It's not what the sermon's about. But it could be that the cross that he really hung on was a cross beam that was actually nailed to a real tree. So that we have the tree in the garden that caused all the trouble. And then we see a tree on the mountain that allows us to receive forgiveness from the trouble we caused in the garden. Amen. That's a hallelujah. He dies and is buried. Now the enemies And I got it. On 1504. Now the enemies of him, you would think they would be happy because he's dead. But he had spoke so many words that had already come to pass. They said, well, we can't rest just yet. What we need to do, we need to make sure that he don't get up from the dead like he said he would. Yeah. Because we heard some stuff about this fella. He walks on water. He raised some folk from the dead. It seemed like he's not afraid of death, but death is afraid of him. That's what it seems like. And you know, when he died, they put him in a grave, in a tomb, but they put a watch. They hired soldiers. I know that sounds strange. I mean, all the places they could be out watching and defending. Because they're watching Hebrews, right? But they're out here around a dead man's grave. Under orders from the governor, Pilate. You know the governor today still has the right when it comes to using our, what branch of defense is that? The National Guard? The governor can say, hey, I need the National Guard over here. Amen. That's what he did. He said, look, we need a National Guard. How many you want? See, it's just one man in a tomb. Give me 100 soldiers. Oh, man. Can you imagine having that duty? I mean, can you imagine having that duty? Watching a dead man's grave. What was them fellas doing? Playing cards and dominoes and big whiz and dice. Talking to themselves, talking about this is the dumbest assignment we've ever had in all our days. But because we're soldiers, we're going to do whatever the man, whatever the pilot says. But y'all know what happened, right? An earthquake came. Light shone from heaven. And Yah raised his son from the dead. Hallelujah. And he walked out of the tomb. And later, we're going to read it. It's in the text. When he walks out of the grave, you do know it's not one Hebrew there to welcome him. And that's a shame. Why? Because he's been telling them, I'm getting, the Son of Man got to die. But in 3 days, I'm up. And if you don't get that, let me spell it out. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and, come on, help me somebody, three nights. Now, Christians all over the world, don't write me. Don't write me. I know this is going online worldwide. Just save your ink, save the lead in your pencil, save the muscle in your fingers. Don't type this up. You cannot get 3 days and three nights starting with Friday night and ending Sunday morning. No. Y'all know I got a baby. She's 2 years old and she know that don't add up. She's like, wait a minute, hold on, Daddy. You said one, two. Daddy, ain't gonna work. Not 3 days and not three nights. It's not going to make no sense. Now, you can try to squeeze that round ball into that square hole if you want to. It's not going to work. You know why? Because he didn't die according to the Roman and the Greeks. He died according to Torah. Yeah, yeah. And he died on Passover. Yeah. And he rose on first fruit, which is 3 days and three nights after Passover. If anybody understood that, can I get a hallelujah? No, he's getting mad at me. Add it up. It's in the Torah. He died on Passover. He got up on first fruit. And you know what they have to do on first fruit? They have what's called a wave offering. Remember the wave offering? The wave offering was to show that the first fruit was good fruit, which would then signify that the following fruit would be good. And what they waved were sheaves of barley.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So when Yah got up and wasn't nobody, Yeshua got up, wasn't nobody at a meeting, he went around and started picking up the barley. Had them in his hand. And he was walking back around the tomb, and Mary Magdalene came and said, "Sir, do you know what they've done with Yeshua HaMashiach?" And then the record said, she thought he was the gardener. Mary, no. He's the gardener. He's the first fruit. That's why he said, "Don't cleave to me." Mary, because when she found out who he was, she said, "Rabboni," and she hugged him, and you know, was holding on tight. And he was like, girl, stop. And it was like, "It ain't that I don't love you, and we ain't cool, but I gotta go wave the wave offering today to follow Torah." Is anybody in here with someone getting any kind of understanding how our Heavenly Father's only begotten Son had to obey Torah even after death? When he got up from the dead, he said, "I gotta go back. I gotta ascend to my Father. I ain't been up there yet. I ain't waved the offering yet. But I'll be back. It ain't gonna take me long to get to heaven and back. I'm finna catch the next cloud is on his way. But I tell you what, have my disciples meet me." Now I'm coming to my four alls of the gospel. Have my disciples meet me in Galilee. I gotta talk to them. Well, you know, between the time he went up to wave his offering and come back, they had already passed a Shabbat. So you do know what ends up happening is, you know, okay, Thomas, you know, he's Hebrew, down to the core. He like, they said, "We saw the Messiah." Because they missed the first time. "We saw him." Thomas said, "That's why I don't like hanging out with you Hebrews. Because y'all always want to take something what? Too far. I know you want to make a joke. I know it's just 2 days. You're so quick to want to go on Facebook and start making jokes and stuff. But that thing touched me. I'm still really grieving. It's too soon to be saying stuff like that and putting stuff out like that." They said, "Man, it's true. He's alive." He said, "All right, I ain't gonna believe it till I see him myself." Y'all know that story. This is even after that. The Bible says, in verse 9, no, let's look at verse 7 of this chapter. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth forth unto you in Galilee, and you shall see him there as I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Yehoshua met them, saying, 'All hail!' And they came and held him by the feet and," underline this, "worshipped him." "Then Yehoshua said unto them, 'Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me.' Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed the chief priests all things that were done. And when they assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of," talk back to me, "large sums of" what?
"Money."
They paid the soldiers off. So from this point on, the soldiers are now, listen to me, paid agents of the government to continue to put forth the lie that's going to keep the people in bondage and in fear and darkness. And that same lie is being told until this very day, that he is not alive, he's still dead. The disciples came by night and stole the body. That lie is still being preached all over the world to this very day. They are paid agents. Anybody leading the Hebrew people right now claiming that Yeshua is still dead is a paid agent. He's on somebody's payroll. Can you imagine what's going to happen to Rome and Greece when the word gets out that Yeshua's alive? Which means he didn't care nothing about your Roman army. He got up with all power. Say that the disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Anybody in here was ever in the military? Raise your hand. Anybody here ever served any military time? All right. Anybody ever have to be on guard duty or at least know somebody on guard duty? What happens when you sleep on guard duty? Help me somebody. Because they said they were asleep. So their own lie incriminates them. If you were asleep on guard duty, then how are you still walking around as a member of the Roman army? Because in those days you sleep on guard duty, that is your last sleep. And by the way, how did you go to sleep on guard duty and you driving a new car? How are you going to sleep on guard duty and you got a 401k? How you sleep on guard duty and I just saw your wife and your kid down at Neiman Marcus? Oh, you a paid agent and you got paid off. So they took the money, you see verse 15? And did as they were what? That's what everybody's doing now. A lot of people are doing in the quote-unquote Christian church. They're taking the money and doing as they're taught. Can I say it again? Are you getting it? Somebody is giving them some money, and they're doing what they're being told to do. Now, I'm just going to say something about your pastor. Can I just say it? I ain't on nobody's payroll. I'm free. I'm 100% free. Matter of fact, I'm not even in no group in France. I'm not even amongst the black preachers caucus of Fresno. I'm not even that. Help me somebody. I'm free. I'm free. And that's why I can teach truth. Because I don't have to worry about my peer group. I don't have to worry about the funders, the investors. I don't have to worry about the president or the governor or a lawyer or some scribe. I don't have to worry about, let me tell you something, I'm free. I don't worry about no conference, no school board, no education board. I'm free. You hear, when you look at me, you're looking at a free man. I'm free from my daddy, from my cousins, uncles, and aunties. I'm free from what people think about me or think about my church or think about my message, because he who the Son has set me somebody free is free what? Indeed. I'm really free. Now I got 10 minutes for these four alls. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Wait, 11? I thought it was 12 of them Hebrews. Oh, Judas. You know, in every group, you're going to have at least one Judas. Judas was, watch this, prayed for by the Most High. I know y'all don't like this. It messes with your doctrine, but just listen to it. It's still true. Y'all prayed. Yeshua went and prayed in the mountain, and the Bible says, and Yah showed him who was going to be his disciples. And he left the mountain and chose those men. Judas was on the list. Hold on. I'm not through. Not only did he choose Judas, watch this. He used Judas. If you don't believe me, you got to look in Matthew chapter 10 when he sent out his disciples and he sent out the 70. Judas was among them when they came back with the report that we did miracles and we watched how demons were afraid and fled at the name of Yeshua. He was in that group. When he broke bread and they ate, you know, y'all remember that, right? They ate the loaves. Judas ate. If you were to look at the 12 from our viewpoint without any insight from Scripture, you would not think that Judas was on his way to hell. Wait, first of all, he'd been chosen. He's employed. He's working. He eat where they eat. They walk where they walk. He'd been out on the sea. He's watched all the miracles. He's been... You mean tell me he didn't make it? Oh, let me see. Hold on. Let me see. Then the 11. Oh, my goodness gracious. The Most High's only begotten son, Yahushua, is about to launch a worldwide campaign of evangelism. And before he can give the first commission, he's already lost one member. In other words, his group shrunk before it grew. Because all growth is not numerical growth. Just because there are numbers do not mean that the ministry is right. Just because there's folk don't mean there's truth. Because there's a crowd don't mean that they are correct. Because there's many, that doesn't mean that they're following the master. But there was 11. And they went into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped. But even some of them doubted. Wait a minute. We got one defector. We got 11 left. And some of the 11. And if you just put two or three, the numbers is getting to be mighty shaky. But watch what Yeshua does. And then I'm out your way. And Yeshua came and spake unto them. Oh, no. Let me get to verse 17. I got a point I got to make here. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. In Torah, it is forbidden for any man or angel to receive worship. If a man or an angel receive worship other than Yah, that person is to be killed. But notice when you read the text twice, Matanyahu, Matthew, literally informs us that Yeshua, or Yahushua HaMashiach, received worship. I'm going to tell you why. Just cut through the chase. You can look it up later. Because he was the visible image of the invisible God or the invisible Yah. He's Yah's word made flesh. And therefore, his word, Yah and Yah's word is the same. In other words, you're not going to get Yah saying one thing and being something else. Is that kind of plain? I know that might rub some folk wrong. Even in the Hebrew camps, and not only just the Hebrew camps, even in the quote-unquote Jewish camps, the Messianic camp, they have problems with this. They don't know how to get around this. See, some things you might not be able to completely understand and explain. But I will share with you what the Most High shared with Sarah when he said to this old lady, she's going to have a baby next year. She started laughing. And he said, Sarah, why are you laughing at that? And she was like, I ain't laughing. She said, girl, I heard you. You know, Hebrews, they always gonna lie first. You catch me something. You, I'm watching you laugh. It's not, why you laugh? I didn't laugh. You laughed. I saw you. And it is kind of funny. But I want to know, are you laughing because you think that there's something too hard for Yah? I need to know if that's the reason. Because if that is the joke, then the baby's name is going to be laughter. If that's the joke we're playing, if everything's too hard, now I'll tell you what. If next year this time you have a bouncing baby boy, his name will be Laughter. Now if, oh, by the way, 9 months later, and then Isaac. Nothing's too hard for the Most High. Because I can't wrap my mind around it completely doesn't mean that Yeshua has not always been the mind of Yah from the beginning to this very day. Now, on a serious note, I'll give you these four alls. I'm serious about that too, but I'm saying let's really look at these four alls. The first thing he said in verse 18, all power. That's number one. When we talk about Yahushua HaMashiach, we're talking about the one who declared, I got all power. Not some power. All. You cannot divide all into pieces. If you take one away from all, you end up with some. To have all, you got to have all. And there's no way that the HaMashiach could claim to have all power if he is not Yah made flesh. Made or put it like this, the Bible has says it better than I can. If he's not the visible image of the invisible Yah, he could not say all authority. Now let's look at what he says here. Is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who gave Yeshua the power? None other than Yahweh, the Yahuwah. That's who gave him the power. His power come literally from the fact that his essence is Yah. All authority on our level has to be delegated authority. But when we talk about the Most High, nobody gave him his authority. He is authority based on who he is. He's the Most High Yah. Our master is the King of Kings. Now watch this. And the, you know, the word in English says the Lord of Lords. Really, that should be interpreted and the Master of Masters. I could easily turn this sermon into something, but my wife told me that you need to be more nice when you preach. But I could really turn this into something because there was some folk calling themselves our master not too many years ago. You call me Master, as though you, Master, got the final say. You don't have a clue that my HaMashiach is the Master of Masters. And one day, you're going to have to pay for how you whooped his children. Amen. 19. Go ye therefore and teach. I see another all there. No, some nations. Go ye there and just teach other Hebrews. Because we got some folk believe that only other Hebrews need to be taught the word. That word is all nations. Why does he say all nations? That's all nationalities. That's all people. Why does he use that term all? Because the promise to Abraham was that through your seed, singular, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. So as a result of that promise, we are then commanded to go to all the nations. Some of us don't want to go across the street. Amen. I live in the country. And there's not too many Hebrews out there where I live. Amen. I kind of like it like that, but I'm just saying. There's not too many Hebrews out where I stay. But nevertheless, we're not supposed to say, well, these people are not worthy to hear this message. Yeah. Or have you ever heard, have you ever felt like this? That I'm not going to talk to this person because I already know they're not going to say yes. Or have you ever thought it like this, been in a situation where you say, this person is wearing a silver bracelet, so they already got their religion. I'm not going to talk to them about this. Or maybe somebody has got a turban, and we say, I'm not going to talk to them because they already have theirs. Or maybe somebody is sitting, yes, next to a really calm pool, humming and talking about yin and yang, and you say, I'm not going to bother them because they already have theirs. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you perceive, because you don't know who Yah is working on that's caught up in worldly and man-made religions even to this very day. What if the Hebrews would have said that about you? Oh, I saw them dress up their kids like demons on Halloween. I ain't gonna talk to them about Yeshua. I saw them eating pork and shellfish and bowing down their knee to a white Santa Claus. And they had a reindeer party at the church. I'm not gonna talk to them about the Hamasiah. No. The good news is y'all looked beyond your fault and saw your need. And therefore, we must look beyond the faults and the problems and the troubles and shortcomings of others and share with them what they really need. They need the gospel of our Hamasiah, the whole world, white, black, brown, red, curly hair, nappy hair, no hair, straight hair. It does not matter. Everybody, when I was a kid, everybody needs to know who Yeshua is. Teach all nations. Baptizing them. Woo, where's Steve at? Did he walk out? Steve, boy, you and that mem got me all messed up. There's that water again. There's that mem. Put them right in the middle. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one name. And then he says, teaching them. This is where I really want to rest my hand. Teaching them to observe all things. What happened to the Christian church? To where they think now some things are not for us to observe. Now, are you going to take your ex-slave master who didn't even want you to learn how to read and believe what he say about what you should do? Or are you going to read what our new master, who is the master of masters, are you going to believe what he tells you to do? Teaching them to observe, talk back with me, all things. Now, how are you going to observe all things, skipping some things? You cannot. Do you know what they used to teach us in the Christian church? When a person gets saved or believe in Yeshua, what they say, give them the book of John. That's where you start them. Really? I used to follow that idea. Hold on, man. There's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Chapter, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel, King, 1 Samuel, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Prophet, Ecclesiastes, Psalm, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Lamentations, Jesus, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Daniel, Rebecca, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. Start them there. Are you serious? When a person believes the record of the Hamasiach, you start them in the book called Beginning Bereshit. Where do I start? In the beginning.
Pastor, you know, I've been wanting to get in my Bible. Where should I start reading? Chapter 1. Verse 1. How about start here? In the beginning. So then where? Oh, then go to Exodus. And then where after that? Leviticus. And then, then Numbers. And then Deuteronomy. And then you can go to Joshua after that. And just, matter of fact, this ought to keep you reading for a while. Eventually we'll get to John. But we don't go to John if you ain't been to Genesis. Because John assumes you already know Genesis. That's why he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was. He assumed you already read that in the beginning Yah created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yah moved upon the face of the waters, and Yah said. He already figured you knew that Yah spoke. He's just now telling you that what he spoke, he has now turned that into the human Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Cannot observe all things, skipping some things. He said all things. But they told us in the Christian church that don't matter. What don't matter? Passover don't matter. Yeah, but it's in the book. I know, but you skip over that. Oh, okay. What about the Ten Commandments? Some of them matter, some don't. Which ones matter? Well, for now, just skip over that. Okay. What about these diet laws that say these meats are clean and they're for us for strength and health, and these other meats are filthy and dirty? Oh, skip over that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. What about here in Deuteronomy 28? Where it prophesied that Yah's people would be taken in ships, in slave ships, into slavery, and they would never see the Holy Land again. Ah, you don't need to know that. Skip it. Oh, I'm sorry. And eventually, they're going to give you about 3 passages in the whole book called the Tanakh. Learn Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Learn Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. And learn Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression. Do you know anything else in that? Nothing else matters, honey. That's all you need in that old book. But hold on. My Messiah said, I should observe. And that doesn't mean look at. It means learn, know, and do whatsoever I command you. Yes. Who is the I that's commanding you? That's the question. Is he Yeshua HaMashiach? Or is he some made up person that tells you you don't have to do nothing I say? You don't have to follow me. You don't have to walk with it. I told him in Sunday school, in Shabbat school this morning. I said, it's so interesting. Everybody talking about, I'm in Christ. But you're not doing nothing that Christ does. You don't look like him on the outside or the inside. You in Christ? You know what? Christ went to every feast, right? Oh, we ain't got to do that no more. You know, Christ didn't eat one pork chop while he was here. Oh, yeah, we can eat pork now. You do know that Christ kept Torah. Oh, yeah, that's done. Wait. Okay. Cry. Let's go home, y'all. Teach to observe all things means all things. Not what some ex-slave master tell you. When they limited what you could read. And when you could read it. Now we've been freed by the HaMashiach to learn it from Genesis to the Revelation. Do you know that in most, I hate to say Baptist, but just most churches, Do you know they won't even teach you the book of the Revelation? They scared of it. Ooh, we don't read that book. Why? Scary. Where'd you get that from? Master said, don't read it. I ain't gonna read it. You don't want to read your book of victory? Mm-mm. Why? That book about the devil. That book is not about the devil. That book is the okay, I'm rambling. That book's title tells you what it's about. The revelation of Yahushua HaMashiach. This book is not the revelation of the devil or the revelation of some angel or the revelation of some system. No, that book is about the revelation of Yahushua HaMashiach, so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt who he really is. He's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He's the lamb. But he's also the lion of the tribe of Yehuda. He's Hebrew. With nappy hair that have turned white with wisdom. His eyes are like flames of fire. Don't believe the slave master's portrait. You've got a portrait. Eyes like fire. Feet and arms. Polished brass. That's a funny looking fella if he got white face and black hands and feet. Come on, talk back with me. To observe all things whatsoever I command you. And if I'm going to do it because I feel it. He said, and lo. Yeah. That means, and watch this. Yeah. Hello. Let me. And behold this. And lo. And lo. Yeah. That mean. That mean. Watch something extraordinary that's going to happen when you keep these four alls of my commission. He said, hello, I'm with you. That's all, y'all. All the way. Yeah, and I'm so glad that he's gonna be with me always, because I can't stand 1 minute without him. I need him always. This is what I'm trying to say, Brother Chris. I need him when I'm right, and I need him when I'm wrong. I need him always. I need him when I got money in my pocket. I need him when I'm flat broke. I need him always. I need him when they love me. I need him when they hate me. I need him always. I need him when I'm on the mountain, but I need him down in the valley. I need him, help me somebody, always. I need him when I know, and I need him when I don't know. I need him always. Yeah. I need him every step of the way. And that's why I preach the gospel. Cause one of these old days, when it's all over down to here, and I come to the last sermon to preach, and I come to the last lesson to teach, when I come to my last song to sing, and I come to my last prayer to pray, I want you to know I need him.
to carry me on the cross. Carry me from earth to heaven. Carry me all the way into your bosom. Anybody here know him? Say yes. Say yes.
For all, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, first of all, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He's observed all things, and lo, I'm with you always, every head bowed and every eye closed. All I want you to do today is surrender your all to him. Because all of us got something we're holding back. But you have to give your all. He gave his all. And he wants all the world to know him. He wants this gospel preached to everybody. He wants the good news that those who are without can be brought in. That salvation is free. If you're here today and you're not a believer, or if you're listening to me on video, or whether you're watching this, or watching on video, or listening to some other device, I want you to know that this day could be your day that you could become a disciple of the Hamashiach. The gospel is for you. Please don't let people tell you that based on who your daddy is, there's no hope for you. Oh no, there's hope for you. But you have to be willing to follow Yeshua. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that you bless the people and bless the message as it goes forth prayerfully in the spirit in which it was delivered unto me. In your name we pray. Amen.